Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I was a little too tall, could have used a few pounds. Tight pants, points, hollering out. She was a black-haired beauty with big dark eyes and points all her own, sitting way up high. Way up firm and high.
Dan Weinbaum is working on posting the filing. But Robert Courtney, if you are just now joining us, who murdered, honestly, stole thousands of people from their families, is getting out of prison early.
There are serial killers who have killed fewer people.
I would say most serial killers have killed fewer people than Robert Courtney did in this very community. And I will remind you what the judge said at the time at sentencing. Your crimes are a shock to the conscience of a nation, the conscience of a community, and the conscience of this court. He handed down at the time a maximum 30-year sentence. Letting him out next week to a halfway house would be 7 years short of any sentence he should have served, and it should have been much higher than that.
And I believe he goes to the halfway house for 2 years, and then he moves into a house in Trimble, Missouri.
He says in the court filing he wants to get a part-time job in Missouri. Have you no shame? Who in God's name is going to hire someone who destroyed the hope of so many loved ones battling cancer?
You know, I find it highly unlikely that this would occur. But I know that his, and I don't blame her for any of this. I don't. But I wonder if his ex-wife, who I'm sure either listens to the show or who has friends who listen to the show, who might be willing to contact her. We won't use your real name. Don't want to.
I believe she changed her name.
She did change her name. She divorced him immediately and changed her name. But if she would be willing to call in, I would love to know what she thinks about this.
I would not want him anywhere near my family. Nowhere near my family.
I mean, theoretically, he now gets to see his kids. I doubt the ex-wife wants to see him. But didn't you say during the break that he got visitors in prison?
Yes.
If my father had done that, I would disown him. Your greed was so great, your narcissism. And if you read this filing, Dana, as you've read it, his narcissism is so outrageous. Where in there, and you've been reading through this court filing, where in there is there any empathy or sympathy for the people he killed? He talks about, my retirement is good. I'm taken care of. I want to get a part-time job. I want to join a church and lead a men's group. Where is the I am a monster line? And I haven't heard you read that one yet.
He says, some in the public will believe I have paid a heavy price.
You have not paid a heavy price.
Dude, no one in the public believes you have paid a heavy price.
The only one who believes that is your narcissistic son of a bee self.
The heaviness in my heart will always be present. Not the fact that I failed and lost success, but I lost.
Oh, it's about you losing success.
Correct.
Not other people losing their lives.
Yeah, failed at what? Getting away with killing people?
Here's what ticks me off. But I lost being present with my children, my dad, my grandchildren.
Oh, I'm about to use bad words.
I lost my wife.
Good.
What in God's name
lost your life.
Do you think you did to thousands of people? You lost your family? You lost your family, what, Robert Courtney?
What a narcissistic son of a bitch. You awful, horrible, despicable human being, waste of human flesh. How dare you write
that you lost
that
your
you lost
family.
Your family and you lost your wife. You lost your wife because you're a serial killer, you narcissistic bastard.
We've had dozens of people call in and say that their parents were a victim.
Okay, I thought you were going to say something else.
Oh, it's
and then
it's,
say that
Sam, it's thousands.
Say it that is, they can't say it on the air.
It is thousands. Let's go to Kyle.
You crazy SOB. Oh my God. Not you, Kyle. Hello.
Hi, Kyle.
Okay. Scott and Dana, I'm a first-time caller. Wanted to say love your show. Listen to it all the time. Y'all do a great job. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, man. You're very kind to say that.
So let's go to this topic. I'm going to tell you something. Scott, you're right. This guy, he should have got the death sentence. Dana, you said, well, the judge said this is just a shock to everything. Well, you know, okay, well, then why didn't we give him a harsher sentence than 30 years? I would think death row would be a little bit what he needed. But
I'd actually agree with that, by the way.
You know, that's my opinion. Anyways, so I'm going to make a long story short. I met my wife in 97. Her mother was battling breast cancer at the time. She lost the battle in 2003.
I'm sorry.
She was an unfortunate victim of this, okay? Now, my wife and her siblings and her dad were happy that the man got locked up, but, you know, they didn't like his sentence either. And now he's being let out because of COVID. Mm-hmm. Now, I am sitting about two blocks from my house because I didn't want to go home yet. I don't know whether I should tell my wife this or not.
Whoa.
His mother-in-law was...
Was your wife not contacted by the Justice Department?
Scott, I don't think any of them were contacted.
No, because I guarantee you, if she was, my phone would have been ringing. And until I listened to your show today, it was the first I had never heard about it until now.
We had been hearing whispers about this, Kyle, as recently as late last week.
Okay. Well, I have not heard about it until today, and I have never tried to call you guys before, but today was the day. I said I've got to talk to him. I've got a question for him, and I've got opinions. So, I've already told you my opinion. What should have happened to this guy? That's my opinion. Now, should he be let out? Oh, absolutely not. So, I'm going to ask you two questions. First question is, do you think I should go tell my wife?
Yes.
Second question is, are they releasing these people because they want them to try, they're trying to avoid them getting the COVID-19?
Yes.
Is that why they're releasing them?
Yes.
Well, and he was arguing for, Kyle, and insert eye roll here, he was arguing for, quote, compassionate release. And to even use the word compassion with a straight face after his crimes is the whole thing just makes me sick.
And Kyle, here's why I was so quick to say yes after you asked, should I tell my wife? If she finds out that you knew in advance and she has to hear this from somebody else, I think that's bad form. You were driving home, minding your own business, listening to the radio when two idiots, one from Lansing, one from Topeka, told you that Robert Courtney, who killed your mother-in-law, allegedly, I don't know that for a fact, but you said it's true. You say it's true.
Correct.
I think she would rather hear it from you than somebody calling her on the phone tonight saying, you're not going to believe what I heard on the radio today.
Okay.
And I think you can lay it down a little bit softer, if you know what I mean.
Kyle, can I ask you, do you remember how you found out that your mother-in-law's chemotherapy had been diluted?
Through the family. Her sister was also a cancer patient, but she survived that. But there's a lot of legal stuff involved. And, you know, you're talking about 20 years ago, and I wasn't quite involved in all of it. We had just gotten married. But I watched my mother-in-law suffer and watched what their family went through and listening to everything. And it was just absolutely horrible times during that period. And,
you know, my mother was going through breast cancer just about that time. And I thank God that he was not her pharmacist.
Oh,
I really do.
I'm sure you do. Absolutely.
But no, Kyle, we got to get to the break, but I do think you need to be the one who tells your wife if she's not listening or hasn't already been called by a friend who's listening.
Okay, Scott.
Do you agree with that advice, Dana?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. Kyle, be safe and be well, my friend.
Take care.
All right. I'm sorry for your family's loss. Kay in Independence, we got about a minute. Can you do it? Because you've been on hold for a long time, and I don't want to waste any more of your time.
Hi, Scott. Hi, Dana.
Hi.
Hi.
I just want to let you know that my sister was one of his first 12 identified victims that he identified to the authorities when he got caught. And she's still alive, but she's battled other types of cancer. I did get a notice on April 10th from the Department of Justice telling me that he would not be released until May 2nd of 27. And then I got an email on the 9th informing me that he was going to be sent to a halfway house and then a home in Trimble. And then I got an email at 4:20 today on this compassionate release.
Can you stick around, Kay, just for a couple of minutes so that
sure.
we can ask you a couple questions about your
okay.
sister's journey with all of this?
All right.
All right. Stand by. Sam Stevie III, Dana Wright, 576-7798. Robert Courtney, one of the most evil, if not the most evil human being that has ever lived in Kansas City, is getting early release, 7 years early, because of COVID-19. May not remember the name. I'm sure you do. This is the pharmacist who diluted cancer drugs at his pharmacy at Research Hospital. He's getting out of prison early, 7 years. 576-7798. All right, let's get back to Kay in Independence, whose sister was one of Robert Courtney's victims. She says, Robert Courtney is being released from prison either this or next week. Kay, you said you did get notification?
Yes, I was registered as to be, you know, a victim to be notified. And then when I got my letter on April 10th, they requested that I set up an account through the U.S. Department of Justice, Federal Bureau of Prisons, to get updated information. Probably
were you not allowed to protest? And by the way, this is from the Department of Justice.
Yeah.
That has ordered Robert Courtney and other inmates to be released.
Yes.
I want to be clear about that. This is not the state of Missouri.
No, it's U.S. Department of Justice, Federal Bureau of Prisons from Littleton, Colorado.
And Kay, when you got the updated email saying they were letting him out, what was your initial reaction?
Well, on July 9th, when I got the email, I figured it was due to COVID reasons. It didn't state as such. But when it told me that he was going to be released on May 2nd to a halfway house, and then from there to a residence in Trimble, I was very upset. In fact, I did notify a journalist to give her the story, and I haven't heard from her. But it's like, you got to be kidding. I mean, it's been 20 years, but it still hurts to think that, you know, yeah, his life changed, but a lot of other people's lives changed as well.
I can't believe you gave the story to a journalist who didn't call you back.
And tell me a little bit, Kay, about your sister's experience and how you came to understand that she was one of the victims that had her drugs diluted.
She was diagnosed with ovarian cancer, and it was her doctor that kind of blew the whistle on Courtney. She lost a little bit of hair, but she didn't get sick because I was all prepared to stay with her and help her. It was just like a breeze. I mean, she really had no ill effects from the chemo. It was Dr. Hunter's office that called her in the summer, I think, of 2001 and told her about what had happened and that she would be contacted by authorities and everything. But Dr. Hunter's office did inform her that she was one of the 12 that he initially identified as diluting her chemo drugs.
And I had forgotten, Kay, because we have someone on the text line saying this, that he was also accused of diluting fertility drugs for women. Because somebody said to me the other day, don't you remember he really diluted drugs that targeted women and women's health?
Yes.
He diluted everything. He was a monster. An absolute monster.
What I always wondered, though, is as he's diluting these drugs, what was going through his mind? I mean, did he not know what the outcome was going to be? And then I guess what really upset me was his wife just got a slap on the wrist, like a 3-day probation period, and money was put back for the two minor children's college education fund.
I don't know, Kay. And I more than appreciate the call. Anna Marie, we're going to take your call here. And by the way, Kay, I'm so sorry for your loss. I'm so sorry. Anna Marie, no. We only have about 30 seconds, but I want to carry you over through the news. But go ahead and start your story.
I worked for Robert and Laura Courtney on two different homes over a period of about 5 times. And as I told the gentleman, truly, I've never called a radio station. I'm 54 years old. And as I was driving into town, I heard that he was being released. And honestly, heart of all hearts, the most evil man I've ever met in my life. Absolutely the most evil.
How so?
He was controlling. His wife was very meager, very quiet. When he came in, no one spoke. It was just terrible.
Can you hang on? Did you work for him in the pharmacy or did you work for him in the home?
I was an interior designer. I was actually in their home. So I was intimately involved in their life.
Anna Marie, am I right to remember that everything in that home was green? When he was arrested and they sold that house, I just remember everything being green.
It was a lot of emerald green. That was the phase at that time in a very prominent neighborhood in Parkville.
All right. Can you hang on for just a second?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
And then Lisa and Tremble will get to you as well. 576-7798. Sam Stevie the Third, Dana Wright, Scott Parks on KMBZ. Hey, hey, hey. Wake up, kids. We got the dreamer's disease. Age 14, they got you down on your knees. So polite, we're busy still saying please.
I want to remind everybody, Scott, because it's been 20 years.
I didn't realize it had been that long.
That Robert Courtney began diluting drugs in 1992. As many as 4,200 patients might have been affected. Mm. One sample, this is just one sample of a chemotherapy drug that he mixed, showed it contained only 24% of the prescribed amount. Courtney charged $1,021, but delivered only $242 worth of the drug. The roughly $800 difference repeated over and over and over again over a period of years made him a very rich man. Mm-hmm. In May of 2001, so 9 years later, a salesman for Eli Lilly told a Kansas City oncologist that Courtney's pharmacy had bought only a third of the amount that he purportedly provided to the oncologist. The oncologist, that's Vera Hunter, sent a sample to be tested, and that sample contained just one-third of the amount prescribed. The oncologist told her lawyer. The lawyer called the FBI.
The gig was up.
80 agents swooped in, and the FDA in mid-August of 2001.
I can still remember.
But by then, he had been diluting those drugs for 9 years.
I can still remember the news coverage of the officers coming out of that pharmacy, or the agents coming out of that pharmacy. Let's go back to Anna Marie. You were an interior designer for the Courtney family, is that correct, in Parkville?
That is correct, uh-huh.
Was it in Parkville, or were they up in
Briarcliff?
Briarcliff, or is that part of Parkville?
No, they were in Parkville. They were in Tremont.
Okay.
Right behind the old hen house.
Okay, and you said Robert Courtney was just pure evil.
You know, he was, and like I said, I'm 54 years old, and I have never, and to this day still have never met a man that he was evil. There was, I mean, when you met him, he disturbed you. The way he stared, he was one of these people that, it was like he looked into your soul. He had no personality whatsoever, but I always thought it was odd, and I was younger at the time. He would walk in, the children would stop speaking, the wife would just kind of bow down her head. And honestly, she was a nice person. I don't know how it all shook out, if she knew or didn't know. I would be surprised if she truly did. He was extremely controlling. She couldn't make a decision in that house without clearance from him. And yeah, I came home one day and I was talking with my mother and I said, you know, that is the kind of guy that, I promise you, if they told me he was a serial killer, I'd never be shocked. And not in a million years thinking that. But that was just the oddity of him. And then the other thing that was really interesting was we had friends that had owned pharmacies for years and they were well off. But the amount of money and the transfer from one house to, you know, a house that was probably $600,000, they were a young couple with young kids, it just, it didn't add up. And then the large donation to the church that ended up dividing the church, there was just way too much money.
I'd forgotten about that, Anna Marie. I think it was like a $100,000 donation to a church up there. Uh-huh. And thank you for the call, Anna Marie. I just looked this up. His wife actually pleaded guilty to one count of making a false statement to federal agents. She was sentenced to one day of unsupervised probation. And here's why.
What was her lie?
On August 15th, 2001, Robert Courtney gave a bag containing more than $160,000 cash to his father with instructions to give it to the wife. A restraining order was issued that froze all of his assets upon his indictment. And the FBI interviewed her and said, do you have any knowledge of your father-in-law possessing a large sum of cash given to him by his son? She denied having known any of it. That money then went into the restitution fund. They didn't get to keep the money.
Good.
I had forgotten she lied to federal agents. Can't do that.
So his dad kind of played a role in it in a weird,
bizarre
way?
Well, he gave the cash to the dad. If someone walked up to you as they're being indicted and said, here's a bag full of $160,000, which I don't even know how big that bag would have to be.
Mm-hmm.
Would you not say, I'm pretty sure that's breaking a law?
Yes.
What if that was your kid, though?
Like, the FBI has just raided your house.
I don't care if it's my... I mean...
I'm not hanging on to that bag of money.
You just brought me into this, son. You literally just made me, in a bizarre way...
An accessory.
An accessory. Not a co-conspirator, but an accessory. I'm not doing it. I'm not giving this money to your wife.
Who has $160,000 worth of cash, Scott?
How do you withdraw $160,000 worth of cash?
I don't know.
Lisa in Trimble. Lisa, hello.
Yes.
And be careful. I know where you're from.
Yes, that's fine. I understand. I'm wondering, how did they decide to put him in Trimble? Because we're a small country town?
Does the family have a house there? Are you aware of anybody who might be associated with him in any way? Because when I heard Trimble, I looked it up. You guys only have like 622 people there. It's not a big town.
Yeah, we're real small. And I was like, what? He's moving to my town.
You're smaller than King City.
Yeah, we are. And I'm like, I don't want him in my town, but... That's not my choice. I mean, they've already made the choice, but I'm like, how do they come to that decision to come to this little town?
Is there a house that's for sale, or do you have any idea where he may end up?
Well, I'd like to know where it would be, that's for sure.
I wouldn't do anything. Okay, there we go.
No. No, I would just like... I'd like to know where it was at.
Lisa, just the gall of him in the court filing saying he'd like to join a men's group and a church and get a part-time job. I looked at Scott during the break and I said, is he delusional that he thinks he can just stroll into some town
for him to get a job?
what kind of business do you guys have in Trimble?
We have a gas station.
Of course you do.
And a bank. That's all we have. Besides two churches.
Ah, so you have three churches. There's three men's groups.
Two.
Oh, two churches. Oh, two churches. I thought you said three.
Two.
Let me guess, you got a Baptist church and a Catholic church.
Baptist and matter of fact, they kind of moved down towards Smithville. They used to be in my town. It's like Latter-day Saint.
Do they have a men's group that he could join? Maybe lead?
I don't know. I don't know, but I think once they kind of hear about it, I don't think they'd want him, but but they're Christian. They forgive. People need to repent.
Yeah, if you read through Robert Courtney's petition for release.
I don't think that he's repenting.
It is one of the greatest, and I haven't read the whole thing. I just heard what you've read, Dana. It is one of the greatest displays of narcissism that I have ever heard in my life.
The diluted drugs made Courtney a very rich man. He had assets of $18.7 million at the time of his arrest. Investigators asked, "Why did you do it?" And he said, "I promised my church $1 million for a building project." But that made no sense since he had 18 times that amount in his assets at the time. He diluted 98,000 prescriptions, affected at least 4,200 patients. 72 different drugs were diluted, not all of them cancer drugs.
No, some were fertility drugs.
He pleaded guilty to 20 counts. And there was very little remorse coming from him, except when he mentioned one patient by name, saying that was the only one that really hurt him since, quote, the guy was a nice guy.
And Robert Courtney, within the next few weeks,
free man.
Is a free man.
Yep.
Please, someone explain to me, in what universe am I living in right now?
So here's my question. The federal government had something to do with this when they decided we're going to take a look at a block of prisoners who should be released early. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Why does one size have to fit all? Why could they not look at those cases? Let's say they're letting out 100 inmates. And in looking at those cases, say, let's be sure with these 100 people that we're going to let out, that one of them isn't someone like, oh, I don't know, Robert Courtney. Let's look at the totality of the number that you want to release and each case. And no one at the DOJ, if they looked into this case file, would say he's one of the ones that is eligible for early release.
But Dana, they had to. That's the rub.
I disagree they had to. I don't think they had to do anything.
They had to send out letters to announce we're letting this guy go. So somebody, when they found out that some guy from Kansas City was getting out, his name is Robert Courtney, we need to write some letters. Did no one look through the case file?
No.
And say, I'm not, hey, hang on, Mr. Barr, Mr. Attorney General, I'm not sure about this one. This guy may have killed thousands of people by diluting cancer drugs, and I have to write a letter to their families saying that he's going to go free.
But keep in mind, the letter to the families wasn't he might go free. The letter to the families was
he is going free.
He is going free.
That's right.
Because had they said, we're going to open this up for a hearing or something, it would have at least given the victims' families a chance to respond. They weren't even given the courtesy of a rebuttal here. The letter said in an email, FYI, he's getting out.
And nobody looked at the file and said, read the first paragraph. Read the first paragraph.
Or just went to Wikipedia, Scott. It's kind
of... Is he on Wikipedia? I'm sure he is.
It's kind of everywhere.
Nobody bothered to just say, Robert Courtney. God, that name rings a bell. Oh, that Robert Courtney. That monster. Why don't you just give him COVID-19? He killed more people than most people in prison. He may have killed more people than anyone in prison. Thanks a lot, Trump. 576-7798.
What's wrong with the world, mama? People living like they ain't got no mamas. I think like the whole world's addicted to the drama. Only attracted to things that'll bring the trauma. Overseas, yeah, we trying to stop terrorism, but we still got terrorists here living in the USA, the big CIA, the Bloods and the Crips and the KKK. But if you only have love for your own race,
sad news
then
today.
You only leave space to
Kelly Preston,
and to discriminate.
The wife of John Travolta, longtime marriage, 28 years, which is a long time in Hollywood. Kelly Preston died over the weekend at the age of 57. She had been battling breast cancer for 2 years. God bless her. That's too bad. That is too bad.
57 years old. I said last night, my God, that is so young.
In a statement issued over social media, Russell Westbrook says he is feeling as well as he anticipated and hopes to join his teammates once he's been cleared from the coronavirus. Rockets guard Russell Westbrook announcing on Monday today that he has tested positive for COVID-19. You know, the NBA is doing this bubble league down in Orlando where they have to test negative twice. They have to go to their rooms, okay? You arrive in Orlando, you go to your room.
And stay there.
For it, the minimum is 48 hours. You have to have two negative tests in a row before they'll let you come out of your room and play in the league. You're not allowed to go anywhere. You're not allowed to have any visitors. I actually think the NBA is doing it as well as any other league could do it. Like in MLS, they've already sent a team home. FC Dallas got sent home.
Nashville got sent home as well.
Oh, did Nashville get sent home too? Okay. So they've had two teams sent home from their tournament down in Florida because they're not doing it the way the NBA is doing it. Westbrook hasn't even left Houston yet because he tested positive. So did Harden, by the way. James Harden, he tested positive as well.
Hmm.
Somebody ain't winning the NBA this year. Okay.
Bob Fesco just tweeted that the SEC ADs met today and said no decisions will be made until later in July.
Seems fair.
Sure. I think a lot of people are just kicking that can down the road and let's wait and see what happens. Wait and see.
Okay, who wrote this at the New York Daily News? Talk about a perplexing piece of mail. That's what they wrote.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Talk about a perplexing piece of mail.
P-U-R-R-R-R.
Right, got it. Yes.
Plexing. An Atlanta man said he found a voter registration application in his mailbox addressed to a rather odd recipient, his cat. Cody, who died about a dozen years ago. Ron Tim said the arrival of the parchment this week was not the first time his mailbox has hosted ballot forms for his late cat.
Wait, a 12-year dead cat?
I'm not buying this story at all.
No, you're not buying it because you swear this mail-in ballot system is going to work.
How does anybody at the election office know the name of his cat?
Well, somebody does, and it's not his cat. It's his 12-year dead cat.
Maybe he is allegedly registering his cat so he gets an extra vote.
Why would you admit that?
You won.
That you have broken federal law.
You would not. That's why you blame it on the election office and not yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because you may have allegedly tried to register your
Why
cat.
Can't you just admit that dead people are getting stimulus checks and this mail-in voting idea is never going to work?
I don't even know who you are.
Let's start a debate at 5:57. Ready?
Go!
I don't even know who you are anymore. Honest to God.
I know that I don't want to live in a world where dead cats decide elections. That's what I know.
Dead cats can't. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm off Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I'm going to be poolside every day at 2 o'clock. We've already made our reservations because you have to make reservations now for the pool.
Good.
Yep.
I hope you have good weather for it.
Oh, we are, Dana. We're going to be just fine. Laying low.
All right, everybody, we got to run. On behalf of our producer today, the finest man in all of America, the great Sam Stevie III, everybody. My good friend and co-host, Dana Wright, I am Scott Parks. God willing, we'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe. Be well. Be good to each other.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.